Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Very good. Today, I would like to talk a little bit about the relationship of big business and government, because there's a lot of complaints about it and there's a lot of problems with it. But what called our attention to it this week has been the back and forth with Trump and General Motors. And he was trying to get General Motors to do exactly what he wants. You can't move your employees around. You can't move your businesses where you can make the most profit and take care of your consumers as well as your stockholders. But since they've had bailouts, if they don't do what we tell them, so-called, that's what Trump's approach is. If General Motors doesn't do it, I'm going to take away their subsidies. So it's one of these weapons that are being used. And sometimes we say that corporations, get subsidies from big government, but governments also get control of these corporations. So it goes back and forth, but it is something that isn't brand new. You know, we know what the problems are today, and they've been around for a long time. Even in the 19th century, there was a big problem with corporations getting special benefits, especially with the railroads. And the railroads got tremendous bonuses and subsidies, and they got a lot of free land. And the corporations, the train railroads, they got these benefits. Most of them went broke, and the few that did not take any subsidies, they did well, and they ran it like a marketplace. But that hasn't sunk in yet. So today, if we look around, Chris, and I'm sure we can find lots of things going on today, which we can put in the classification of subsidies coming from the average person in the United States. We shouldn't say it's from the government. It's the government redistributing wealth, taking benefits or funds and passing them out to privileged corporations in subsidies, causing trouble. And I think we're facing a lot of that trouble right now, and it's probably going to get worse before it gets any better.
Yes, I'll start by identifying how bad it is for consumers. I mean, if you think about it from your own perspective, you go to work every day. You might not even like your job, but you go to work, you work hard because you need money to pay the bills and to buy things that you want or that your family wants. And here comes government, and they're going to take your money from you, which is like a reflection of your work, and they're going to give it to a corporation to go create something that you don't want and the marketplace doesn't even want. If it was profitable, private investors would put their money. Private investors are constantly on the lookout for profitable opportunities. So money, your hard work gets shoveled into corporations to make things that virtually nobody wants, but because it's politically popular, it happens.
Of course, Chris, position we take is that all subsidies should be removed. There should be no special privileges for anybody. Everybody has equal rights, and they have protection under the law. They have a right to own property and contract. But that's quite a bit different than what goes on today, because there's so many things that they qualify as subsidies. It reminds me of my first introduction to Congress way back in 1976. I was interested in some of the controls on medicines and drugs, and also there were some controls where I thought the drug companies were way over the top, had much more control than they wanted, and got too many subsidies. And I introduced legislation to take away any subsidies and any help the big drug companies were getting. And I thought, wow. Boy, they're going to like this new congressman knocking down and getting rid of these regulations. But the opposite happened. This was my first real lesson. But they didn't like getting rid of regulations. And they were actually, even today, you hear some of these companies say, well, we don't want this because we don't want these smaller companies to have any competition with us. And that was the real reason. So it dawned on me that, big corporations aren't on our side of so much of this. They think they can learn how to manipulate and control the government and get the subsidies, work the regulations, and work the tax code to their advantage, even if it's in a very narrow sense. They won't be across the board for everybody equally, but for the special interest groups. And that's why it's a big battle of which special interest group is going to get the most attention, which ones will get the tax breaks and the tax code. And that's big business. It goes on and on. once there's a information that's going to be a new tax law, the lobbyists in Washington love it because that gives them a lot of activity and a lot of work to redo the tax code. So there's a lot of things that qualify as subsidies that are sort of indirect. One is getting regulations that benefit the very wealthy big corporations, and also a tax code that can very well benefit a large corporation, but not a small corporation.
Mm-hmm. And I know because they write to us that we have a lot of business owners that watch our show that are fans of Ron Paul. And, you know, if you have a legitimate business, you have no government connections, you have to work for your customers and to gain them and to keep them. But meanwhile, the guy down the street, he's close with politicians, maybe goes boating with them, and he ends up getting subsidized because he's close with them. And all of a sudden, his customer service drops because he's getting taxpayer money. What does he have to care about customers anymore? While you're working real hard to gain customers. Yet he's using his subsidies. He could bid on resources. He could bid away labor resources, other resources that you rely on for your business. So this is rotten to the core, not just for consumers, but for legitimate business owners that have no connection to government.
Yes, and when the people come in and legitimately complain, and then there are corrections made, they're never done fairly, and they're not done philosophically. It's patchwork. And Mises made his argument was that every time they create a regulation or a tax, you create many, many more problems that requires more and more legislation, and then you end up with what we have today. You know, even at the local level, there's a lot of subsidies that people call subsidies, but I want to explain there's a difference on this, and that is tax abatements. You know, a big corporation wants to come in. I guess recently it was, Amazon. Boy, there was a lot offered, and people called these subsidies. Well, they're a little bit different. They say, you come in, you don't have to pay taxes for 5 or 10 years, and they're big and bold, and they're going to bring in a lot of jobs and this sort of thing. But it's something we have to think through, because in most of our circumstances, support all tax abatements in a local level or elsewhere. But the problem with that is, why, if it's so good and so beneficial to your community by having a tax abatement for somebody new coming in, why not give it to everybody, you know, immediately? And that's really the only solution you can. So it is unfair to give it to one company and make everybody else work under those other circumstances. And this is also true with tax credits. Tax credits are a pretty good deal. That's not a deduction. That's a tax credit and a write-off. And that can be done for so many different reasons. And I essentially would vote for all tax credits, lowering taxes. But it's still unfair if you give a tax credit to one person and not another. But my argument would be, well, you can't punish somebody by trying to make the correction. The correction has to be the elimination of taxes on everybody, not saying I can't eliminate taxes on some. But it's messy, and that, of course, is where we are, and that's why government's so big, that's why there are so many regulators, and that's why we have very huge budgets and deficits in Washington, and quite frankly, it's a strong motivation for the monetary system that we have, you know, financing this kind of activity that is not free markets. This is one thing, Chris, that bothers me a whole lot, is what we have is a mess, and we know it's a mess, and we complain about it. But it is used as ammunition against us, because see what happens when you have capitalism? See what happens when you have free markets? This is what it's all about. It's this kind of, you know, corporatism. But that is not true. But that is what the Bernie Sanders of the world, that's what they're going to argue, and they get attention, and they have a tinge of an argument there, because there are some people benefiting, but not because they have freedom. It's because they're using government, and government is using them, and they have this cooperative advantage. And both sides, Democrats and Republicans, endorse the same principles. The only argument they have is who gets to wield the power, who gets to pass out the largesse, who gets to police and activities and this sort of thing. So it's something that is very important to understand. but it also engulfs the entire system. It's an economic understanding, it's a political understanding, and my point has always been that it's endorsed by both political parties, and that the only solution to this will be is to build the numbers that are like-minded, that believe in liberty, understand personal liberty, understand free markets and property rights and voluntary contracts. And the purpose of government is to protect that alone, not to regulate and do all the things that they do. That's where we get into trouble.
Yes, great points, Dr. Paul, and I'll finish by echoing what you just said. We have to distinguish between legitimate businesses and government-connected crony businesses. Can't lump them all together like socialists tend to do and just hate all corporations just because they're a corporation. No, there's a big difference between the two. And in a free market, what's important are, I think, three things. One, no force. Everything is voluntary. No fraud. So if somebody defrauds you, that would be wrong. And adherence to contracts. And the job of a politician is to punish people that use force, that commit fraud, or that break a contract. That's it. There's nothing else for a politician to stick his nose into. And, you know, if we move in that direction, even just slightly, our lives will improve.
Yes, and there's a lot of gimmicks that they use to try to correct the problems that they create because they're not following those rules you suggest they should. The tariff is used for that purpose. The tariff is not a 1% tax on everything coming in as a revenue enhancer, which could be argued separately, but that's not what we do. We have protective tariffs. Protect one industry over the other, and just in last year and all the conversation, we'll punish you or we'll help you, and we get very much involved, and I think a very dangerous situation. The other thing that we do is when we cause mischief and get into trouble, and individuals, you know, suffer from the moral hazard and say, well, you know, I guess I can do this. I guess I can invest. The interest rates are low. Tells us there's a lot of saving. Oh, well, we'll insure this. So businesses get insurance and government and individuals get insurances. And the government, for instance, for business people, they have overseas private investment corporation. That means that individual companies that go overseas and invest in dangerous political situations and they have trouble, they can get bailed out by the taxpayer. So we literally have laws that actually increase the amount of number of people go overseas to reduce their risk. So it's something. The Export-Import Bank is another thing designed for big government. You know, get these benefits, and it's a subsidy. Oh, well, we have to do it because the other countries are doing this. But long term, it's a big problem, and you can't solve the problem of too much regulation and taxes. People say, well, we can solve the problem of unfair trade by having tariffs. That is, oh, well, we'll just tax the American people for anything they want to buy overseas, and that's going to solve the problem. You know, there's another area that not too many people talk about, but I believe it's absolutely true. Our military follows our foreign investment. Not only our insurance policies, we send out and encourage people because we're involved in a world empire, and that's why it's not a violation in their mind of our own sovereignty. But our military follows, our investments, and sometimes we'll get it. And not too long ago, there was this comment, if you don't do what we want, we're going to remove your defense. We pay for your defense and we're going to take it. You do it our way or we're going to remove it. So we allow our system to let our big corporation go overseas and invest. We protect them with insurance. And then we actually send the military there to use as a threat if they don't do what we want them to do. The Fed, of course, is a gigantic subsidy to big corporations. Corporations and banks, the whole work, a subsidy, of course, to big government. And they sell it off, of course, to the average person and say, oh, well, the Fed also pays for your welfare and food stamps. So the people go along, they don't understand the monetary system. But the big benefits and the big welfare benefits go to big corporations. When I first went to Congress in the early 70s, I was under the notion that welfare meant for people who wouldn't work, and they're living off the government, and they're on food stamps, and they were the big problem. And there are plenty like that, I believe. And there's a lot on welfare that don't need to be, so, but the system is wrong. But I found out over the years that that is minuscule compared to the benefits that corporations get, whether it's direct, indirect financing, regulations, or through the Federal Reserve. So there's a lot of mess there, and it's not going to be solved by those who say, well, Ron, you just made the case for Bernie Sanders. This is what we need because you two guys agree on it. And, you know, quite frankly, he and I did agree on some of these subsidies. And when we agreed on these clear subsidies like an export-import bank loan, you know, we could work together. But he also uses this as an excuse for the expansion of total government control and regulation. But, you know, in this is, like I said, when we started, that this is not brand new. It's been around. The railroad corporations had their subsidies, and but they've continued after that. But I'm going to finish with a quote from Smedley Butler, who was a Marine general, one of the most decorated military person ever, that was in the military for 34 years at the end of the 19th century, the beginning of the 20th century. And he was in for 34 years, and he did his duty. But all of a sudden, a light bulb went on after he left, or as he was leaving, or it all sunk in. He said, I wasn't working for the United States people or our freedoms. I was working for the corporation. And it's a great little book. If you haven't read it, you ought to read War is a Racket, because it is indeed a racket. And it intertwines with the racket of the monetary system, the military-industrial complex, the whole work. But let me read his assessment. And he wrote his book in 1968. And let me see. Here it is. He did this in 35, his book War is a Racket. He denounced the role he had played, describing himself as, this is a quote, a high-class muscle man for big business, for Wall Street and the bankers, a racketeer, a gangster for capitalism. And that is a great message. It was too bad he didn't learn it a little sooner and didn't work so hard to protect him. But he came clean, he admitted it, and wrote this book, and it's a classic, and it makes a big point. Matter of fact, once a person like that probably has a little more credibility on how bad the situation was when we send our military to protect our corporation. My final message is, please try to distinguish between what they say is capitalism is and free markets. I don't even like the word capitalism. I like to talk about free markets and voluntarism, and that's quite a bit different. I think that I like to describe the process that we're talking about here today as corporatism. It is an ism, and it's this combination. And sometimes it's the government's controlling business, and sometimes it's business controlling the government, and it's a mixture of things. But we need a line, separation of commerce and state. That would solve our problems. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.